that game yesterday, man. We're not a sports station, but when even the liberal talk show host was, what the heck was up with the Vikings, man?
That was...
You're
thinking about Thursday, and we don't care about what's happening Sunday.
That is not. You are a resident sports guy. I'll bequeath your knowledge on this. That is, seriously, couldn't we put that in the dictionary under the definition of looking past an opponent and just put, September 23rd, 2018, Vikings 16-point favorites over the Bills?
Exactly, and it doesn't help. They're playing a really good team 3 days later. I just think they got totally caught thinking about LA Thursday.
They weren't thinking about that game. I mean, that's no thinking to it. They were looking past them. Wow. I mean, it just, you talk about, everyone's gloomy gust. And I get it. You were thinking to yourself after last year, we're going to go. I think yesterday we just proved one thing about football stadiums and all this stuff, is that it comes down to the coaching and it comes down to the team. And if that was a Super Bowl caliber team, halfway through the second quarter, they would have said, we're not going to let these punks beat us at our own home, and they would have still won by 20. If this was a playoff caliber team, they would have at least made it close, which tells you a lot about where this team's mindset is. This team's it's not going to make the playoffs.
Well, they might. You see what happened to Green Bay. They're not going to make the playoffs either.
Detroit? I don't know. I mean, it just, well, we're going to be that division where the guy goes 7-9 wins and you just get annihilated in the first week. So
I know what's going to get them to the Super Bowl, though. Another new stadium.
Another one? $4 billion this time. Why not? We are not a sports talk station. Dang it, Matt. Stop it. We are not a sports talk station. We are AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Once again, coming up a little bit later on, Zach Stevenson's going to join us, Democrat of the Day. We have a lot we've got to get to, though. I mean, and a lot we've got to get to, especially considering what news broke right as I was leaving the station on Friday. And that would be obviously the incredibly harsh story of Representative Jim Knobloch. Republican State Representative Jim Knobloch abruptly ended his campaign for re-election on Friday, a decision that will not only shape up the battle for control of the House next year, but could also reshape who helms powerful committees in St. Paul. Knobloch, an eight-term representative from St. Cloud, ended his campaign hours after his attorney spoke with NPR News about a forthcoming story about his daughter, who he said he inappropriately touched her for years. He denies the allegations, but in a statement said he was dropping out because he didn't want to put his family through 6 weeks of extreme scrutiny and stress in the campaign. Can I first of all ask this question? How has he not? I mean, I get it. We don't have, the House is not scheduled to meet. But if we had, say, tornado damage that was pretty severe, or some major flooding, or an early season blizzard, and we had to call everyone back to St. Paul for an emergency funding discussion. How has he not been expelled from the House? And to my knowledge, I mean, I have not seen that story. The story is his campaign has ended. Now, if I've been wrong, if you know that that's happened, I looked, I couldn't find it anywhere on whether or not Kurt Dowd and the Republicans and Democratic leadership said, you know what, you clearly have to take care of some things. We're going to expel you from the House because we don't want to take the chance that we have to basically throw you out at the beginning of a special session if, God forbid, we had to deal with some sort of natural disaster. Brett, have you seen anything about them expelling him from the House as of yet?
Zero, nothing.
Nothing. I haven't either. I went and looked, but I mean, there doesn't seem to even be the discussion. I mean, right now, I want to repeat, right now, Jim Knobloch's a sitting Minnesota House member from St. Cloud. He is the representative for St. Cloud. And, it's once again, allegations. I've said this with Kavanaugh. I've said this with Ellison. I have said this with Cornish. I've said this with Schoen. I will say this with Knobloch. You deserve your day in court and deserve to basically make your argument and try to prove your innocence if you are innocent. By all means. Well, if you're, you know, that's the, for the court to decide. That being said, these allegations, you know, someone, I was got into a few conversations this weekend who were trying to talk about, you know, is this worse than Ellison? And I said, I'm not going to get into that case of that, or is this worse than, you know, than Kavanaugh? Is this worse than this? In my mind, when you're talking about the story as it's being unfolded for Knobloch, that's like trying to compare burglary and arson. Those are two very different. And I'm not going to sit here and sort of say, well, you know, what happened to Kavanaugh, to Dr. Ford, was bad, but not as bad as, nah, that's not my place. That's not my role here. I have been very clear that if there are these, about the allegations with Ellison, we've talked about that. We've, on this show, we talked about it extensively. That if, you know, that the DFL needs to have a plan on this. And I'm going to get to the first AG debate they had, which was interesting, which did show, I don't think the DFL's really got a plan to deal with the AG race right now. And we need to talk about that. But this is, you know, this is an incredibly serious allegation. The fact that Knobloch himself ended his reelection campaign, and once again, this wasn't we're going to debate whether or not I'm going to run. This was in April or May. He's in the race. He's running to win that seat again. He had there was no back and forth. His intent was to go back to St. Paul. He is withdrawn from this race to deal with family issues, frankly, as he should, and deal with this issue directly. But shouldn't you basically sort of maybe considering the nature of this story, the allegations of inappropriately touching his daughter for years, don't you think you probably want to at least have Kurt Dowd and the rest of the Republican leadership and maybe a few of the Democratic leaders, you know, talk to the governor and find out what your legal options are to make sure that if we have a special session, that Jim Knobloch's not going to be there, and nor do we have to necessarily deal with the first thing is expelling him from the House before we basically deal with voting on tornado relief or snow relief or flooding relief. I will say there was an interesting element of this story because, once again, the Republicans don't have a lot to hang their hats on this election cycle. We talked about the polls that came on out beginning of last week, and then I do believe the end of the week beforehand, with Walz firmly in the lead for the governor's race. You have Klobuchar. Once again, we can make the call right now. Election night coverage right here on AM 950 on September 24th. Amy Klobuchar has got another term in the U.S. Senate. Ta-da! Because remember, Jim Neuberger's great campaign speeches, save Trump! Save him! A guy that's got, what, a 38%, a 39% approval rating in the state of Minnesota. Good luck with that one. Has Jim Knobloch done anything within the 494-694 loop for the campaign? Has he been anywhere inside the 494-694 loop yet?
You mean Neuberger, right?
Neuberger, yeah. What did I say?
Knobloch. Neuberger.
No, Neuberger.
Has he even been close to the 7-county metro area?
He's been down in Lakeville. There's a sign for him. I've heard multiple signs. There is a sign for him in Lakeville. A sign. I think it's the same sign.
it's a singular sign.
I've seen it. It's like a Sasquatch. It's down there in Lakeville, only it doesn't move.
Take a photo when it's blurry.
Yeah, the Neuberger, there is a Neuberger sign down there, and I have zero doubt up in like Elk River and stuff, there's probably Neuberger stuff. That's getting close to his territory up there. Because remember, Jim Neuberger, the racist representative from Becker. So he's starting to get closer up there. But, you know, I don't think he's been inside. Maybe a fundraiser in Edina? Maybe? But who would, okay, you're in Edina. You've actually done well with your money. Who's going to have a fundraiser for Jim Neuberger? Sorry, snorted. We want all the Republicans to win. I'm going to host a party for all of them, including Jim Neuberger. No, not him. No, do not invite him. He can go fundraise in one of those lesser communities like Eden Prairie. Oh, I'm sorry. Neuberger, I'm sorry. Your name's on the list, sir. I'm sorry. You have to have a... sorry, you can't come into the party. Has he been inside? Has Neuberger actually made the trip inside 494? I doubt he has. So Klobuchar is looking like she's going to win. Tina Smith is looking pretty good, too. I think it was a mistake for Karen Housley to bring her husband out, Phil Housley, and have him miss a 5-foot-wide open shot on a net in hockey. I don't think that helped your campaign too much. I think Steve Simon... Julie Blaha, we had her on the air as a Democrat of the day. I think both of them are great candidates, statewide races. The AG race, that's a race which is probably going to be the most competitive one of the statewide races. And it's a case where the Republicans are clearly banking everything on them. And they're really, and I mentioned this last week, the races they're going to focus in on are the AG race, that Senate District 13, which is Fishbach's old seat, which will basically determine who controls the Senate, and then Housley to try to take out Tina Smith. I think that at the end, by mid-October, all the money in the Republican coffers is going to be filtered into those three races to try to win those. So the Republicans have been going... pretty hard at Keith Ellison with the accusations against him. And very interesting, after the Knobloch story broke, I went over and started looking at some of these Republicans who have basically said, they've been going after Ellison. They deleted a lot of social media posts. And the new mentality was that just Keith Ellison was kind of this generic thing. That was their argument. They don't know. Once again, this was supposed to be they're fairly easy target to go after. I mean, it's an African-American man who's Muslim in outstate Minnesota. They have been working round the clock to vilify and terrify outstate Minnesota with the thought of something like this. And now you have the allegation against him. The Jim Knobloch story dramatically has changed because, once again, Republicans do not want to talk about Republicans making mistakes. When it's, a Democrat, it's specific Democrat. And they say, why don't you ever talk about Republicans? And they say, I condemn all of this, but I'm only going to talk about the specific Democrat. And trust me, they get trained to do that. That is what they're trained. They go to these seminars, this stuff, and this is how you're supposed to speak. You only mention Democrats by name. And when they bring up the our party doing things worse, that you basically, you say it in kind of a generic tone. Obama was bad on the deficits. Obama was really bad on the deficits. What about Trump? I'm against all deficit spenders. But Obama was the bad guy on the deficits. Well, what about Trump? I disagree with bad deficits. That's all I'm going to say. But I want to go after Obama. You see how they do that? That's how they do it. Just a sad story. And it's sad on a lot of different levels. Needless to say... is there something legally we can do to just remove him from the House so that if we do end up having a special session, an emergency session, that's not the first thing we have to deal with? Is that at all possible? And once again, Representative Knobloch, you deserve your day in court, but you clearly do not need to be worrying about what's going on in St. Paul right now. That's to say the least. 952-946-6205. When we do come back, let's recap a little bit more of the AG's debate that happened, because Democrats, you need to have a better game plan than what was on display at that first debate. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. She spins magnetic rings around.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Margaret Wheatley said, "There is no more powerful way to initiate significant social change than to start a conversation. When a group of people discover that they share a common concern, that's when the process of change begins. On October 16th, you can be part of that change. Engage in the conversation at an incredible event, the Minnesota Women's Press Conversations, Using Our Voice and Vote. With midterms right around the corner, how we lobby, influence, and campaign, especially with people who have different views, has never been more important. So go to womenspress.com to register now. Oh, and Patricia Torres Ray and Nakima Levy Armstrong will be in a keynote conversation with each other. And in addition, all of us will mobilize through incredible breakout conversations. October 16th, from 4:30 to 8:30 in St. Paul at Carondelet Center, Using Our Voice and Vote. Register at womenspress.com. Press.com. That's womenspress.com. See you there.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. I'll try to get to the national stories, the Rosenstein, Rod Rosenstein, the assistant attorney general, and as well as also the Kavanaugh story. And the real question is, which one is Trump using to deflect from the other one at this point? Seriously, which one is he using? Is he using Kavanaugh to deflect from the Rosenstein story, or is he using Rosenstein to deflect from the Kavanaugh story? Because I don't know, because neither one of them is good for him. We'll get to that here in a little bit. MinnPost, once again, giving coverage to the debate, the Minnesota Attorney General's debate, and talks about what they learned. Doug Wardlow is the GOP nominee. He is an extremist, to say the least. And when you think about what the AG's office can do, you can't have a state where you have like Governor Walz and you have a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate and an attorney general who's all he's doing is basically suing to try to undo every law that the Minnesota House and the Senate try to pass or the governor tries to sign. And that's what Wardlow is going to do. That is what Wardlow is going to do. He's going to try to sue to force Minnesota to do what Donald Trump says. He's one of these guys that's controlled by this far right puppet masters. The money people that the Koch brothers, Sheldon Adelson, those guys that basically tell the Republicans what to do, he's basically going to follow their lead. And so we pass all day kindergarten. He's going to sue to stop all day kindergarten from going into effect. We're going to pass clean water standards. He's going to sue to basically get rid of all water standards, allowing pollution to be free and clear in Minnesota. He's going to sue. We pass a law that gives us health care for everyone. He'll sue to stop it, saying, you know, health care is not a right in this country, so you shouldn't force it on someone. That's what he's going to do. So when you think about this attorney general's race, think about that for a second. You can't allow Doug Wardlow to become the attorney general. And, you know, he painted off Ellison as being an extremist. It did not help his cause that they were. Okay, if you're going to call the guy the far lefty, the grassroots legalized cannabis party candidate, Noah Johnson, was there too. You know, it's, you know, it's hard to say you're kind of the liberal and, oh, well, outside of him, you know. And, you know, I, with all due respect to the grassroots legalized cannabis party, you know, you're definitely got your niche. I mean, we're going to say that, but there was definitely the demonizing of on either side. Ellison and Wardlow took different positions. Wardlow criticized Ellison for supporting policies that keep the state and local law enforcement from asking about immigration status of people who they come into contact with. So what's Doug Wardlow going to do if he becomes attorney general? He's going to basically sue to force all law enforcement to demand your papers every time you get stopped. That's what Doug Wardlow is going to do. Wardlow says he supports Trump's immigration policies. They basically differed dramatically on national policy, different, you know, on different issues. They both all accused of each other threatening to politicize the office by making it a player in the national debate over Trump administration policies. Ellison cited a current lawsuit by 20 Republican attorney generals against the Affordable Care Act and its protections for people with pre-existing conditions, something more than 2 million Minnesotans have. It has become a major campaign point nationally, with Democrats saying it's proof the popular feature of Obamacare is opposed by Republicans. Wardlow said he wouldn't have joined the suit, but he wouldn't have joined the suit if he was in an office, which, by the way, I'm going to call liar. That's my personal opinion. Just everything you say, dude, you would be like, put my name on the top. I'm just saying. I don't think you're being honest when you say you wouldn't have joined that suit. I don't think it's right for Minnesota, but Wardlow said that the state had a great system for covering pre-existing conditions before Obamacare. Okay. We had a bit of a system in place. What we had in Minnesota, and what you Republicans like to keep thinking was a failed system, is you had garbage policies. What the Affordable Care Act did was basically make it illegal for companies to sell garbage health insurance policies. And so that health insurance policy you had, which you thought was great because it might have covered a flu shot, and that's about it. When that basically got negated and your insurance went up, it wasn't because the Affordable Care Act raised your insurance. It was because they exposed that your insurance company was a fraud and they weren't really giving you insurance. So, you know, it's you know, he can say, I'm against the Affordable Care Act, but then I'm for these things. Well, no, you're either for the Affordable Care Act or against the Affordable Care Act. And the Affordable Care Act had coverage for pre-existing conditions. If you're against the Affordable Care Act, you're for pre-existing conditions. And that's just that. It's appropriate for the Attorney General of the State of Minnesota to join with other Attorney Generals, Democrat or Republican, Doug, when it's to be the benefit of the people of the state of Minnesota. That's Ellison going after him. They went after each other. Ellison basically, clearly, I don't think was prepared for the allegations against him. He didn't seem to be. Wardlow echoed his campaign ad, I think two credible, strong allegations of domestic abuse is enough, in reference to Monahan and a 2006 allegation by another woman. There's none, actually, Ellison said. There are two, Wardlow said. There's zero, Ellison said. The 2006 allegation was from a woman who his campaign got a restraining order against, he said. But more importantly to his election efforts, Ellison wasn't always effective Friday at turning the spotlight on Wardlow and trying to portray Wardlow as too conservative. I'm saying this. If Wardlow does that again, what I would highly recommend you do is the following thing. Just look at Doug Wardlow in the straight in the face. And it's like, boy, you sure do like talking down to African-American men, don't you? And just walk away. And just, because he will lose it. He will freaking lose it. And let him. And let him. Because you're not saying anything out of line. He sure does. He sure did seem to enjoy talking down to an African-American man. Sure seemed to enjoy doing that. And if Ellison says that, then basically he's going to go livid, because that's really the only option he has. He can't just sit back and he's got to go crazy. And then you can look, it's like, is this really what you want your attorney general to be for the state of Minnesota? You want some guy who's going to blow his top? DFL Keith Ellison, please, if I may, you need to hammer this guy, because we can't have an effectively running state if we have an attorney general who's basically suing the governor, the House, the Senate, everyone to force a Trump agenda on Minnesotans. And that's what Doug Wardlow is going to do. I'm going to stop these liberal Democrats. And he's going to basically go on out there and try to force, like you said, he's all for, you know, questioning people for their papers. That's a Trump thing. He loves Trump's immigration policies. Is that really what we want the state to be? And if it's no, that's not what you want this state to be, then what you need to do is you need to have some effective counterpoints ready to go. Because like I said, you're going to have, I mean, if the Republicans don't have much in the state to campaign on. I mean, they'll focus a little bit on 8-1 as far as the Minnesota House races. But when it comes to statewide races, there's not a lot they are going to focus on. They're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink to try to portray Doug Wardlow as some sort of misunderstood, rascal, rapscallion moderate. The reality is he's in a far-right Trumpet, and that's not what we want, basically suing everyone and everything as the attorney general to force an agenda on the state of Minnesota. You got to fight that and fight that hard now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Democrat of the day, Zach Stevenson. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
As we head into fall, get your vehicle service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com. Courteous, and they get the job done right. And considering my schedule, I trust them. Get your vehicle ready for the cooler weather with a trip to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Go Gusties. EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week, Victor's 1959 Cafe, the arroz a la cubana, yum, yum. That's two eggs with the plantains, the yuca fries, it's delicious. The Cuban scrambler is fantastic. They've got a great breakfast for you, including great pancakes, just a wonderful flair, too. Stop on by and enjoy it. It's one of my favorite places in town. Victor's 1959 Cafe, the EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week, 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Democrat of the day is looking to represent Champlain and parts of Coon Rapids. Zach Stevenson is joining us as he is running in 36A. He's kind enough to take some time to talk about his campaign. Hi, Zach. How are you today?
Well, now I'm hungry.
Well, it's wow. You and I need to go to Victor's because that place is brilliant.
I love that place. It's great. I haven't been in a long time, but it's really good.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us. I appreciate the time. You 36A, once again, this is North Metro. You've actually got a really interesting quirk to your district, I've noticed. Your district is not connected. The Mississippi River actually separates it, so you have to actually leave your district to get to the other half of your district.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. We're kind of the redistricting leftovers up here in the northern suburbs.
The seat is an open seat. Republican Uglum not running. What made you say, you know what, I'm going to run and see if I can be the representative for 36A?
Well, you know, I was running even before Mark decided not to run. And really, it was just I've got two little girls who are 6 and 3, and I'm really worried about the world that they're growing up in. You know, I remember on election day last year, I'm a prosecutor for Hennepin County. I'm an attorney, and I was doing election protection day work that day up in St. Cloud. And I woke up very early because I had to drive up to St. Cloud, and I looked down at them and I thought, boy, these girls are going to grow up in a world where they think everything is possible because there's going to be a woman president, and they're just going to see that all the doors in the world are open to them. And then I spent the whole day up in St. Cloud trying to protect people's right to vote. Drove home in the dark listening to the radio and realized that my daughters were going to grow up in a very different world where the president was sending them a very different message. And that was unacceptable to me. And I realized then I needed to be doing more than what I had been doing. And so after some soul searching and talking to my wife, we settled on this. And we worked really hard all the way through 2017, trying to put together a strong infrastructure for our campaign. And in fact, very early in 2018, it came out that we had outraised the incumbent by 20-1 in 2017. And we had been door knocking the district. And on precinct caucus night, actually, Mark Uglum, the incumbent, announced he wasn't running again. So we have been off to the races ever since.
You know, two things I want to bring up because of what you said. First of all, your story about your daughters is the exact same story as myself with my two daughters and my son. And I'm like saying to myself, this is where we're going to go. Okay. I will say this, it's been good because it has taught my daughters how to be active and that you can't take anything for granted when it comes to that realm. But I also, I also do want to, talk a little bit about the fact that I think what you talked about, the Uglum pulling out of this race, the fact that you were active and engaged early and that you're in the district and you're working, this is not something a lot of Republicans were used to. And they could always already see the writing on the wall with a midterm election for a Republican president generally, filters down badly for the Republican, for the party of the president down the line. They could see that train coming. I think he got out of the way because I think he saw that this is, with active, engaged Democrats, especially after the election of Trump, that this was not going to be any cakewalk and that the days of him being able to take for granted a fairly easy race on the Republican side were over.
Well, and I think even more than all that, when you talk to voters up here in 2017 and into early 2018, they were saying that they were really concerned about health care and the rising cost of insurance and prescription drugs, that they were really worried about how our education system is in trouble, that class sizes are up to 35, 36 kids in a class, that they were really worried about the fact that we just can't seem to pass common sense gun law reform in the state of Minnesota. And, they knew who to hold accountable for those failures. Voters do. They understand who is standing in the way of those common sense ideas around healthcare and education and public safety. And so I think a lot of Republicans maybe got the message that the voters were going to be upset with them and ready to hold them accountable.
You said you're a prosecutor for Hennepin County, right?
That's right.
How did that job prepare you? How do you feel that job prepared you to go to St. Paul and represent 36A?
Well, being a prosecutor is all about holding people accountable for their actions. And I think, as I was just saying a minute ago, the voters in this area are ready to hold their government accountable. They want to see more accountability in government. And that's something that I am prepared to do because that's something I do every day. And I think it also gives me some perspective when people talk about how, there's so much pressure from lobbyists and special interests and even party leadership to vote a certain way. I tell them, I walk into court every day and have to look criminals in the eye and tell them they're going to prison. No one's going to tell me how to vote. No one's going to buy my vote. I'll be using my independent judgment like I have to do every single day as a prosecutor.
But you're also, and let me get your thought process on this, because I imagine this is something that's weighed on you as well. If you look back at the last legislative session run by Kurt Dowd and the Republicans, as a prosecutor, you're used to following rules. There's a procedure that you take, and here they are throwing out the Omnibus Prime bill, this 1,000-page, loaded with pork, loaded with unpopular ideas bill, throwing it at Democrats with 2 hours before they have to vote it. They can't vote on it. They can't possibly read what's all in there, and basically screaming vote. Now, the process, you know, if you respect the job, you're going to respect the process too. I imagine that didn't sit too well with you either when it comes to the way that the Republicans have distorted the process in St. Paul.
It doesn't sit well with me, and it doesn't sit well with people that I talk to all around Coon Rapids and Champlain for a lot of the reasons you talk about. You know, when they roll up those bills into these huge 1,000-page bills, it's all about avoiding accountability, because they say, well, I voted for it because of this thing, not that other thing, you know, and they put these things out in the middle of the night when no one's paying attention. Well, that's about evading accountability too. You know, our political process has just become completely devoid of accountability these days. It's a place where facts and evidence don't seem to matter anymore. And so you're right. It is really frustrating for someone who's a prosecutor who has to go into court every day and live and prove a case with facts and evidence, not ideology and wishful thinking. That makes the whole political process very frustrating and is a big part of the reason why I'm running in the first place.
Your district here, once again, Zach Stevenson is joining us right now, 36A Democrat of the Day. The district you're in, Champlain and Coon Rapids, you're talking about a district. There are a few other ones in the metro area where there really are, to a point, depending on the election, you're a toss-up. I mean, there's a lot of people that vote Republican and a lot of people vote Democrat. As you've been door-knocking here, how has been your reception?
Well, it's been really positive because people are ready for a change. People do sense that things are moving in a bad direction as we see more of that Washington-style politics seep into Minnesota. And you're right. I always say this is the ultimate purple district in Minnesota. In fact, if you take all the districts in Minnesota and rank them from the one that went most strongly for Trump to the one that went most strongly for Clinton, my district is the median district. It's exactly in the middle. And so we need to win back this district if we have any hope of getting back into the majority in the Minnesota House. And that's why I've been working so hard to put together such a strong campaign. And I felt really good about the positive reaction we're getting when we talk to voters.
Well, and I should mention that 36B, your neighboring district, that's Melissa Hortman, who, you know, I sure would love to see her as Speaker of the House. And I think for something like that to happen, we would need to have 36A as well go for the Democrats.
That's right. In fact, my house is right on the line in between. So the street in front of my house is the border between 36A and 36B. And I always tell people that I'm running because I want as good a representation as my mailbox has.
That's a good one. I like that. With a district that's that tight and that compact, how have been the volunteers? Have you been able to get to most of the houses in the district?
We've been through the district three times now as of this last weekend.
Nice.
I've been door knocking. I really believe that that's what campaigns are all about, is the candidate getting out and talking to voters. And so I have been door knocking since May of 2017. Took a little break in December, but we were out. I was out the Saturday before the Super Bowl. And you might remember there was a blizzard. I certainly remember it very well. All through the year, I was talking to people today, right before I called you, we got on the phone. I was door knocking in a community in Champlain that I had been in back in March of earlier this year, 6 months ago. And I was happy that a lot of people there remembered me and were very positive in remembering the conversations we had 6 months ago.
And that's the key. And I don't care, Zach, which district you're in. I've talked to people, outstate districts, farming districts, Rochester, Duluth, metro area, suburbs as well. And, you know, it's the door knocking. And if you've gone over three times, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, that's what gets results. And I think that's one thing the Republicans have banked on, is Democrats not doing the footwork, doing the door knocking. This time around, my goodness, the Democrats are knocking on doors left and right.
People are engaged. But, you know, having said that, we always need more people to come out. This is not a time to sit on the sidelines. This is not a time to spend your time tweeting or posting on Facebook. We need people to get out and have real face-to-face conversation with voters. That's how elections are won or lost in Minnesota. And I always tell people, you know, you may be seeing good results in the polls right now. We may be having good conversations at the doors, but that can evaporate in an instant. We saw it happen 2 years ago. We saw it happen 4 years ago, where there was a dramatic swing against the Democrats in the closing stages of the campaign. So we need to really put the foot on the accelerator right now. And anybody who's interested in getting involved in my campaign can go to my website, which is zack.mn, zack.mn, and fill out a form. We have a million different ways to get involved.
How did you get that? Zack.mn? Nice. Yeah. Nice get.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, as it turns out, .mn is the .us for Mongolia. That's true.
But it works here.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah, exactly.
All right, here's what I promise. Zack, when you're a representative, I'm going to come up to you. You talked about food a little bit earlier. Coming up to you,
yeah.
When we get, and you and I will go get breakfast in Champlain or Coon Rapids, one of your favorite locations up there, all right?
I love it. Sounds like a great, although if we're going to have a meal in Champlain or Coon Rapids, you really should come for lunch or dinner so we can go to Q Fanatic, which has some of the best barbecue in the Twin Cities. This is the most useful information I'm giving your listeners in this entire interview. Q Fanatic in Champlain has a phenomenal barbecue.
It's a deal. So if you want to help Democrats, and once again, there's a lot of great Democrats running. I'm in Cheryl Uakim's district in Hopkins, St. Louis Park. Mm-hmm. She's a great candidate. I've helped her out. But if you're in a district that's relatively safe, think about getting out into 36A. Help Zack with his campaign. Door knocking, phone calling, volunteering overall, donations as well. If you can help out, please do. Zack.mn, Zack, Zack.mn. That's a website. If you can donate, volunteer, please help out Zack Stevenson in 36A. Zack, an absolute privilege chatting with you. All my best coming out here for November, and thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Zack Stevenson, bye. Democrat of the day, 36A. Q Fanatic. I think that's a deal. That's a deal there. We'll take a break. Come on back. Talk Trump when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Newsflash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. LD 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show, it's engaging and real, and it's on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know, I purchased my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna. But it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more, visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
Wow. Thanks, Zack Stevenson. That is a solid candidate in 36A we got going right now. The DFL should be very happy with that. Help out Zach if you can. Zach.mn. He's got a Mongolian. It works if it's MN is Mongolia and it's open. Zach.mn. That is brilliant. I think we need to go to Mongolia for a few extra websites, too. I think that's the case. Zach.mn, Zach.mn, to donate and volunteer help out his campaign. Trump is saying no to Puerto Rico getting statehood if the mayor of San Juan stays. I want you to think about that for a second. That one just came across. He's saying that if the duly elected mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico doesn't either resign or is not forcibly removed from office, that he will not consider statehood for Puerto Rico. Think about that for a second. Let me repeat that. Trump is saying that unless the mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico resigns or is forcibly removed from office, that he will not grant statehood, if they do want statehood in Puerto Rico, to Puerto Rico. Wow.
You imagine if Obama said, I'm going to withhold federal money to Texas if they don't elect a Democrat.
Can you? Yeah.
Their heads would impeachment articles.
Look how they imploded when he said that Fox News has got their agenda, which they do. And they didn't really deny it. He just said, how dare you call out Fox News? You know, that's who these people are. The question here is this. Okay. Things are blowing up for Trump and the Republicans, and especially Chuck Grassley. By the way, Chuck Grassley, you're a jackass. Can I just say that? Senator, you're a jackass. God, what a piece of worthless garbage you are. I mean, your legacy is just nothing now. It was pretty bad when you basically, you know, screwed over Merrick Garland. But my God, what is wrong with you? Did you the story is when Rowan Farrow found the second person to have allegations against Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct back in his school days, whether that was high school or in college, when that story came on out, apparently the Republicans in the Senate got wind of this, and that's when they were initially saying, we need to vote now. That was their answer to, so once again, a second person, they become aware a second person is making allegations of sexual impropriety against Brett Kavanaugh. And before the public finds out about it, they start screaming about, get the vote done, get it voted in now. Because they don't want this to get derailed because of clearly unacceptable behavior. Now, I want to say one thing about this. What he's done is unacceptable. And, the fact is it did happen a while back. I'm not saying that makes it acceptable in any way. But there's this argument that the Republicans are trying to put forward that says that you can't, that the Democrats want to make it to where you can't do anything, that you basically are incapable of holding a job or anything if you have allegations or are found guilty of this crime. And no, that's not what they're saying at all. If you're managing a Target store or some mid-level manager at a bank, or you run a fast food restaurant or whatever, and you did something in your past 35 years ago that was, bad, I don't think people are saying that every one of you need to be fired. We're talking about the Supreme Court of the United States. And yes, the behavior of that individual, as it should be with the president, as it should be with pretty much most of our elected representation, should matter. And so when Brett Kavanaugh sits there and they say, well, they're coming after me because they're meaty pants. It's like, no, this is a Supreme Court justice seat. You have to be a better person. This is not about basically preventing anyone that's had an allegation against them in the history of mankind ever from having a job. This is about whether or not a person who now has four people accusing him of sexual inappropriate behavior, should that person be allowed to be a judge on a Supreme Court, especially when it comes to judging, cases which involve women's rights? God forbid. So you got the Kavanaugh thing and more, and now you basically have Kavanaugh saying that he's going to fight this, and there's a testimony scheduled for Thursday with Dr. Ford, where she's going to come on in. Christine Ford's going to talk about her situation in regards to Kavanaugh. Whether or not there's going to make time for these other allegations, we'll have to find out. But now it's four is what we're looking at. At the same time, the Rod Rosenstein story, the assistant attorney general, is coming to a head. Now, why is that important? Because Rosenstein is in charge of all things, the Mueller investigation. And there was the story that broke, another story that broke Friday night after the show, which was that Rod apparently had put forward the idea of taping Trump and then using those tapes to try to instigate the 25th Amendment. Rosenstein vehemently denied that that ever happened. I said from the get-go, that doesn't sound right. That sounds to me like Trump wants to get rid of Rosenstein. And once again, he wants to get rid of Rosenstein because of multiple reasons. One, if they're going to hide everything, if they're going to hide everything from the Democrats before the Democrats take power in January, because it's looking right now like the Democrats could be taking power. If they're looking to hide everything, they've got to start making some moves now. The replacing Rod Rosenstein would be a first big step. Then you can basically shut down the Mueller investigation. Then you can basically tell the FBI to hand over all their documents and no one can ask any questions about it. There's a lot of people that, I mean, whether or not the Republicans, look at the Republicans today. The Republicans are the most complicit group I've ever seen. They don't think that their job is independent of the White House. They are thinking their job is to basically do what the White House tells them to. So I don't think there's a lot of faith in that the Republicans in the House and the Senate would do their job and stop the president from burying this story. So if they're going to do that, they have to do that soon. Well, so the question is this. You have Trump's SCOTUS pick who's imploding because he seems to be a massive, horrible human being, especially back during his school days. And then you have Rod Rosenstein that if he does fire him, there's going to be a tremendous pushback from especially Democrats, but even some Republicans to say, you can't be doing this. And someone's asked me, it's like, which one is he using Rod Rosenstein to bury the Kavanaugh story, or is he using the Kavanaugh story to bury the Rod Rosenstein story? I think that Trump is doing, because now all of a sudden we have a new summit with North Korea. Now he's basically saying that you have to throw the San Juan, Puerto Rico mayor out of office. I think Trump, he's doing what a narcissist, petulant man-child would do. And he's trying to basically make the biggest mess possible to hide. That by creating the biggest blank storm he possibly can do it, that he thinks he can basically be invisible while being in the middle of it. And to a point, he's right. And so that's what he's trying to do. Now, don't send out that tweet saying, ignore the Rosenstein story or ignore the Kavanaugh. Don't do that. Use the brain you got. Focus on it all. Don't dismiss one for the sake of the other, because that's what they want. The reality is you got to look at the whole big enchilada of crap that is Trump right now. And I mean, this really, truly is a disturbing time in America. It really is. Here's a question for you. Will four accusations of sexual inappropriate behavior be enough to stop the Republicans from pushing Kavanaugh through? I don't think it's going to be. I think they're going to still vote. I really do. It's unbelievable. Gary, call back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Till tomorrow. See ya.